I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The baseball season is way too long.
The game is way too slow.
It's so boring to watch.
Shut up. Get your peanuts, Cracker Jacks, and IPAs ready. This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch.
Swing and a long drive, deep to right.
Covering all things baseball.
Going, going.
The big leagues.
Going, going.
And the MLB to Portland.
Goodbye. He has done it. He has changed the game of the night with one swing of his bat.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Mike Lynch on 1080.
Bang, zoom, go the fireworks.
The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner, for it must be a Wednesday, as it's always a Wednesday, and this is no normal Wednesday. I've been looking forward to this show for like 2 weeks, because we will finally spend 2 hours breaking down the 2019-2020 English Premier League for 2 hours.
Well, it starts, what, in like 2 weeks from now? So
yeah, baby, that's what we're doing.
The entire show.
You ready?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really ready. I'm hoping you
How's
brought a lot of information.
Looking?
I'm excited because I like Hasenhüttl a lot. He's the new manager there. But, you know, there's Southampton. They'll probably fight mid-table. I'm just hoping to avoid the relegation fight.
And Liverpool's going to win the league. And we're done.
There you go.
That was it. That was your 2019-2020
Premier League preview.
Okay, well, let's not lie here. Today is a pretty wild day.
Is it always on a Wednesday that the trade deadline happens?
I think so.
Well... Or is
oh,
it always,
no, it's July 31st.
It's always July 31st.
So whatever day is July 31st.
So this is very rare, I want to say. This might even be the first ever trade deadline day edition of the Hot Corner because, what is this, the fifth year of the show now?
Yeah.
And there's probably a leap year in there, so, you know, the day goes up one day every single year. We might be, for the first time ever, reacting to the trade deadline as it happened 6 hours ago.
I know. I was really sad that I didn't get to sit in. I had some stuff come up and I wasn't able to do the show last week because I love the speculation. I love the, you know, this team's got to do this and that team's got to do that. And I really love that kind of aspect. But today's kind of cool because everything's done. And this is the first year that there's not the, like, second trade deadline where you just manipulate and you get Justin Verlander and win a World Series.
Well, Matt, I think that caused a giant tizzy for a lot of these teams because some teams don't truly know if they're in it or not at this point.
Right.
And if you look at the National League standings, I mean, every team except for the Pirates and the Marlins probably feels like they have a chance to make the wild card because they're all within six or seven games or under. I know seven or six is a lot, but that's doable with 2 months left in the season.
Look at the Indians. We're about to win the Central.
But I'm going to ignore that for now. We can get to that later. But all these teams are like, we might be in it, right?
Right.
That's why the Mets and Reds did some moves that they did, and we'll talk about that later too. But it just made it way more interesting because I don't think a lot of these teams that made moves as buyers are actually that good. I just think they're hot at the right time and in the playoff hunt, and I think they might regret not trading some of their big-name players to get prospects.
Which is a strange thing because we also saw teams that are for sure either in it or should be acting as if they're in it not make moves today. And I also, you know, the big one, which we're going to get to, you know, in 10 minutes or so, I don't know if that happens if there isn't this hard trade deadline today, you know, because there's so much at play and they got to give so much up to get that. That today was pretty wild. And it was interesting because I got to work. I was doing some stuff at Ye Olde Tap Room and put the show on the tube. I put Buster and Kirkshin and Ravi on the tube today. And was listening, and it's like 20 minutes before the deadline, and it's all kind of just like,
I was keeping an eye on Twitter. I was watching MLB Tonight, and they had Greg Amsinger up there, and they had all the reporters, Ken Rosenthal and Tom Verducci, were all like doing cut-ins, John Heyman and stuff.
It's funny because you get Heyman, Verducci, and Rosenthal, and I went Passan, Kirkjian, and Olney.
Right.
just six of, like, the guys in the baseball.
All together, which is great. I just like MLB Network's coverage a lot, so that's why I watch that.
That's fine. I think the TV was on ESPN, and I was just like, I'm not going to change it. Don't want to miss anything.
It was so boring. I was really worried that it was going to be really boring, and frankly, it probably still was, except for the one trade that saved it all, and that was the Diamondbacks-Astros trade. But it was kind of a dud, and I think there's a lot of ramifications of it being just one deadline this year with what I said before, but also it's driving the price up because guys are going, you have to make a decision now, and if you don't, you're not going to get the guy that you want. So we're going to ask for prospects 1, 2, 3, and 4 in your system. And if you say no, well, that sucks because we got 900 other teams that are asking us what they want for this player. So I think it made it tougher on the big teams trying to get players. I mean, the Astros almost didn't do anything.
Right.
Right. Until they made the big move at the last second. So the top teams are probably getting asked for way too much. And then all the other teams are in this weird murky of like, should we sell? Should we buy? Let's just trade with each other. And that's kind of what happened. It was very, very weird, but I kind of liked it.
Well, there's a great question, and you kind of answered it, but I'm willing to dive into this a little more. A great question just came across the Better You Today text line at 55305. Are you guys for or against the hard trade deadline? I like it, just for simplicity's sake. Don't call it a deadline if you can still make trades a month later. Now, that's a great point. I think that's just the weird thing about that second deadline. But are we for this? Are you for it for the chaos? Or are you against it because you saw teams make moves that should probably have not made moves?
I never
Which way does your levy fill?
I never really understood the waiver deadline in the first place. It didn't make much sense to me. It kind of felt like an out for teams who weren't ready to make a decision that they were going to go ahead and just wait till the waiver deadline. So I like that it's just one. I think it makes more sense this way. Every other league has just one. It creates more of a buzz. I think this deadline would have been way more boring than it probably was if there were two, because maybe Greinke gets traded in August.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Because Arizona's kind of on that border of maybe being in it, and they punted today, sort of. And I think they would have probably held on to him until August, and then all of a sudden you get that again. That now the excitement is here now. So I like this better.
Well, everything I learned about the waiver deadline, which is the second deadline that we're referring to, was really just about money. That was like Verlander gets dealt to Houston 2 years ago at that second deadline because nobody really wants to pay that Verlander money. So Houston says, when you clear waivers and you grab them and you create that trade, then Houston is on the hook now for that whole contract, to where if he gets traded at the August 31st deadline, you can restructure some pay, and the Tigers pay a little bit and Houston pays some. So that's how that kind of worked. I liked this because I'm with you. I don't like the fact that it's not really a deadline, that you can still go get somebody. I don't like that some teams think they're still in it when they're not. So I like that kind of aspect as well. However, it created... it's like that S or get off the pot sort of situation. You know, are you in or are you in? You're in or you're out.
And I think that creates a lot of extra intrigue moving forward too.
So now
August is kind of raging for baseball because all these teams that decided to go for it, quote unquote, let's see it, right? You're not waiting until the last month of the year when the excitement's already there for the playoffs. Now the last 2 months of the season, I think for maybe more neutral baseball fans might have some more buzz because these teams made decisions and you're like, oh, they're actually going for it. And I think that helps.
And for a sport that could use more buzz around its day-to-day operations, I think today was a step in the right direction. And I would even go as far as saying it was a smashing success. Oakley Dokley, on that point, we got so much to get into. There's so many fascinating things that have transpired in the last, what is it? It's 7:11 right now. Trade deadline was at 1. So in the last 6 hours, things have changed catastrophically, and I'm super excited to get into that. So we've got so much ahead. We'll get into the Giants, the Nationals, the Braves, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Indians, the Reds, the Diamondbacks, the Astros, the Blue Jays, the Mets. I think I've covered everybody.
I'm not sure we're going to get to all of that.
Well, I know,
You know what? We're going to try.
We're going to do our best. We're going to give it the old college try. So we got, if you're a fan of baseball, there's a good chance we're going to talk about your team today, unless you're a Marlins fan, then then you're on your own. So we got that for you. You can always reach out to us on the Better You Today text line. That is at 55305. That bad boy lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. If you bring up good points, we like to talk about it and bring it up. So you've got that for you. You can find us on social media. I'm at PDiddy085 on Instagram. You can find Mike at MikeLynch27 on Twitter. There's also the Beers on Us podcast will drop tomorrow as I went out to the Oregon Brews Festival. And I'll tell you what, I've got some interesting things that I learned from this year's Brew Festival that you will want to check out that you can download wherever you get your podcasts.
And if you followed Beers on Us on Instagram like you should.
Like you should.
Do it.
Do it.
Right now.
Right
I'll
now.
Wait.
You should totally do that because Mike's still waiting and won't stop until you follow that. You'll see some cool stuff.
You'll see a picture that I posted yesterday or 2 days ago. Did you see the picture?
I did. I saw it in the store and I was like, ooh, I should probably buy this for Mike. And then I looked at my phone and I was like, oh, Mike's already had it.
I drank a blue beer.
Blue.
And it was literally the color blue.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really interesting and it was fun. So we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah, so you want to download that as that'll drop tomorrow around 4. Okay, I think I covered everything. When we come back, the story headline of the day would be the trade involving the Houston Astros and the Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Well, we might as well just dive into this bad boy. For this is the MLB trade deadline special of the Hot Corner. And some giant news drops, probably about what? It ends at 1:20, and then at 1:20, my phone buzzed.
One o'clock it ended.
1 o'clock it ended, but at 1:20, my phone buzzes, and it says, at the last second, the Houston Astros make a trade with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I'm like, Robbie Ray? Okay. I wonder what they gave up for him. No, we got Zach Greinke.
Yep.
And as I sit here now watching the Indians beating the Houston Astros 10-4.
Diego Costa's in the game now.
Top of the ninth with two outs. This might be the last time we defeat the Houston Astros this season. For this is one of the most amazing trade deadlines I've seen in an already loaded team.
Well, so they gave up a pretty penny to get him.
They paid a price for him.
Now, they did not give up their top two prospects. They got a hitter named Kyle Tucker.
Three of their top five went.
And a starting pitcher named Forrest Whitley, who are their top two prospects who they've been protecting from any trades. Now, they gave up prospects ranked number 3, 4, and 5 in their system to get Zach Greinke. And to be honest, that still feels like a steal for them. Because, yes, you are giving up three great prospects, but you got to keep your two best who you're most excited about. And you get Zach Greinke, who's got, what, 3 years left on his deal?
Mm-hmm. And Arizona's paying some of that, too.
Some of it. The Astros are still paying a large majority of it. But now Garrett Cole's a free agent next year, so this could be kind of backup in case he leaves. So you get Verlander and Greinke as your top two instead of having this three-headed monster that is currently there. But for now, you want to get back to the World Series? You want to win another World Series? Try to get through Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole, and Zach Greinke, who, by the way, Zach Greinke doesn't need any more spin rate, but I bet you he's going to get some.
Yeah.
Because the Astros just keep adding spin rate to every pitcher they acquire.
Yeah, you don't want to be in the wild card game this year. You don't want to win the wild card game this year. Because
assuming they win the American League, which it looks like they will now.
Because in the best of five series, the Houston Astros are going to throw Verlander 1, Cole 2, Greinke 3,
Verlander 4.
Cole five and Greinke out of the bullpen if you need him in five.
Yep.
Like, you're not going to beat that.
And then in a 7-game series, you're only going to get, I don't know, the most improved Wade Miley I've ever seen in game four.
Right. And you're already up 3-0. So you're just like, whatever. We'll throw Wade Miley.
We'll
see what happens.
The Wade Miley start.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Verlander's next.
I think this
good luck.
I think there was a lot to be argued in the American League. Okay. I think the Twins showed they were a little closer to the Yanks than we thought. The Yanks look a little vulnerable right now, but the Astros looked good. We're probably the odds-on favorite, but I think weren't vastly separated from the Yankees. It still looked
I think just
throwing the Indians, throwing the Ass or the A's.
Just a week ago, the Yankees were considered the best team,
right?
But just a week ago, Houston had just come off a pretty bad slump where they lost like 8 of 11, and the Yankees were flying high. Now the Yankees are coming off a week where they look really bad, and the Astros are flying high. So I think those two will be the favorites at the end. I don't know how it's going to turn out over the last 2 months, but after this trade, my money is on the Astros winning the American League and having the number one seed, yes.
I mean, after this trade, my money is the Astros winning the American League and winning the World Series.
Sure.
I love it. I love this. Well, they made some other additions, too. They made a deal with Toronto. They got Aaron Sanchez, who knows what they do with him. Like that.
I think they're going to put him in the pen because he's been really bad this year. He's got like a 6 ERA. But he's got electric stuff, so maybe out of the bullpen he'll be really effective.
Maybe they throw some magic on him like they have. Like we keep talking about this Astro magic on, you know, spin rate and stuff like that. Also, they get Bagliani from Toronto as well.
Be a genie.
Whatever, dude.
Bagliani.
Whatever, dude.
Close enough.
I was trying to remember his name, and I was like, I have him on a fantasy team, so I was trying to remember his name, and I was like, what is it again? Bagliani, that sounds fine.
Yeah, it starts with a B and it's Italian.
Yeah, that sounds fine.
We'll figure it out.
But I like those moves. So, I mean, I like those moves before they even got Zach Greinke. And then to throw Greinke in that is a pretty big deal. You know, I think they're in really, really, really good shape and they should be feared throughout the league.
Well, so what was their biggest weakness going into this deadline?
They needed a starter.
And their biggest weakness was mid-bullpen, right? Back into the bullpen's pretty good. But their middle of bullpen was pretty shady. And so they did that by getting Biagini and by getting Aaron Sanchez. They didn't need another starter, but I guess their biggest weakness would be after your top two, who do you have? And there was a big question mark. Now that's gone too. Their lineup is insane. It has been the entire year. And now they're actually healthy for the most part. So, yeah, I don't think they have any flaws right now. Now, flaws could crop up. Maybe someone gets hurt. Maybe Greinke sucks in Houston, right? I doubt it, but maybe he has. Remember a couple of years ago, he wasn't that good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was last year. He had like a 5 ERA or a 4-5 ERA. Yep, he wasn't as good. Maybe that happens and it's not worth it, but I'm just, you know, grabbing at straws here. I seriously doubt that'll happen. He, Verlander, and Cole have the three lowest whips in baseball. So they're all on the same staff now, which is terrifying. And they filled all their holes. I don't think they have a lot of weaknesses, if any, left. And, you know, maybe parts of their lineup are a little bit weaker, but generally, I think they're locked and loaded and ready to try to win another one.
They picked up Maldonado, too, from the Rangers. Again.
They did that last year.
So there's that aspect as well. I mean, Greinke, you know, what if Greinke throws, you know, 6-inning shutouts every start and hits a dinger in the World Series?
He could.
Like, that could happen.
He's one of the best hitting pitchers in baseball.
That could happen.
Yeah.
He's got the worst hair in baseball, but he likes it that way.
That he does.
I don't know. This is something crazy to me because I think it's different to me, and I don't know why, because they're about the same age, but it's different to me than when they got Verlander a couple years ago, because they got Verlander and I was like, okay, that looks great. It's kind of how I felt if anybody would have gotten Bumgarner, that it's like, yeah, this guy's good, but he's not the guy you think you're getting anymore. And then Verlander was like, oh, yeah, you remember me on First Ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, better than he ever was in
Detroit. Yeah, better than I ever was. Kind of like Roger Clemens, but probably for different reasons. This one feels different. This is more of a, whoa, wow, you added Greinke? Even though Granky's 35. This is not a team I want to mess with.
That's the only thing, right, if you have any concerns about this trade, is you give up a lot for an aging pitcher who has a lot of money on his contract. I think that's the only negative in my mind, is at some point now pitching is a position that I think you generally will look at and say, you can pitch when you're older.
Mm-hmm.
But when the drop off happens, it's like, hey, I'm here. So it could be great for this run, right? And sometimes you sell out for another World Series and maybe that's what they're doing. But that could be the only negative of this, is you gave up a lot for a guy who's old and has a lot of money left in his deal. It is a bit of a risk, but it's Greinke. So it's right. Like Verlander. You're like, Verlander, once he's good, you're like, he's fine. Even if he's older, I feel the same way about Greinke. Even though he's older, he'll be fine.
Just to try to touch on, you know, all 28 Major League Baseball teams, except for the Marlins and the Pirates. Is that who you said?
In the National League. Yeah.
In the National League.
The American League has more teams. That are really
that's
bad.
True. That's true. The Orioles suck. Mariners suck.
Royals suck. White Sox suck.
Well, they should be better, but they do suck. But to touch on more teams, for Arizona.
Toronto sucks.
This is interesting. You got three of the Astros' top five prospects. They've had they've probably had pound for pound the best minor league system for the last 5 years, considering all of their studs are their guys. Springer, Altuve, Correa, Bregman. They're in a great, I think Arizona is in a great spot. I think in the offseason you trade Robbie Ray and you try to get some more prospects. And in 3 years, this team could be pretty dangerous. Kettle Marte. You've got Eduardo. What's his name?
Eduardo Escobar.
Thank you. Escobar, who's looked good. You could have something there. Now, if you had Mitch Haniger, too, and Gene Segura, who knows?
But. Right, and if you had Dansby Swanson still. And yeah. So that's the thing is I don't particularly trust. I don't really trust the Diamondbacks. Now, I think they've gone through a change in their upper management area. I think they've probably got a new GM than when they made those bad trades for Shelby Miller and stuff. But I don't know. I have a trust issue with Arizona. And you're right. I mean, they got a lot of great prospects from a team you would expect to have great prospects and expect to pan out. But I don't know. I don't like Arizona as much as you do. There's something about that team that feels like it's built wrong.
Well,
I've watched them a lot, and they're just not – they feel disjointed. They feel like a bunch of random parts put together and – not like in the Oakland A's way, but in the I'm not sure how to build a baseball team way.
Well, I think you've got a lot of valid points with that, and I'll end with this. I don't know if I'm super high on them, but you gotta feel good if you're a team that just got three of the best five prospects from one of the best farm leagues in the league. That gives me optimism, no matter who you are. You know, I agree. Like, even if it's Brody Van Wagen, who we'll get to in a little bit. Even if he deals somebody and gets three of the best five prospects from a farm system like, I don't know, say the Cardinals or the Astros, you know, people that tend to have, the Yankees tend to have a quality farm system, it would still make me feel good even if you had a lot of deficiencies at your GM team building kind of philosophy.
Right. I mean, sometimes it's not up to the GM. If you got good players and they pan out, then great, you got lucky.
Right.
I
think you bring up valid points.
What young Arizona players have come up recently that have really just been exciting to you?
Nobody.
To me, it's a whole lot of nothing.
It's a whole lot of nothing.
Kettle Marte has been exciting, but he's a guy you got from the Mariners, not someone you brought up yourself.
Right.
And Jake Lamb keeps getting hurt and can't stay healthy. Osmani Tomas was a disaster. I guess Robbie Ray, did he come up from your own system? Did they trade for him?
I think he came up through them. I mean, AJ Pollock's a Dodger.
Yeah.
Mitch Haniger's can't stay healthy. He's a Mariner.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? All right, when we come back, I do want to dive into some more of the kind of upgrades, the pluses. I want to stay a little positive in this. Some of the other teams that made some deals and how they look going forward. There's one team that I am massively in love with what they did, and we'll get to that next. This is the Hot Corner, but first, there's Mike with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
That is the life, my friend. That is the life. Unless you're Diego Costa, and I still hate you, despite Atletico going up on the MLS All-Stars 3-0, and that is the final score. But that doesn't matter right now.
No.
Not at all.
That doesn't matter ever, to be honest with you.
No, it's probably might be the worst All-Star game.
I think the Pro Bowl's got a little something for you.
Ooh, good call. That thing is hot garbage.
It is awful.
Like, when your offensive line gets up, like, the ball is snapped, and they get up, and they just go, who? And they just kind of, like, they, like, high-five each other. Like,
please don't hurt me. I'm tired.
They're, like, high-five D linemen, and they're like, hey, man, I'm not trying to hurt you either. Don't hurt me. This body hurts already just walking.
Right.
Diving into
this. It's already the offseason. The playoffs started. I didn't make it. Why am I in this game?
Yeah, what? Free trip to Hawaii? Like, I only did it for my kids, and I hate my kids. Diving back into this MLB trade deadline, I want to talk about some other teams that kind of did some positive things before we start screaming the sky's falling for, you know, some teams that are still in pretty good shape. I want to get into a couple teams from the National League East and some stuff that I thought they did that really drew some attention. First, I want to get into the Washington Nationals, who made some trades to bolster that bullpen. They were literally blowing the game against the Atlanta Braves, who were also blowing the game against the Washington Nationals while the trade deadline was going down. And the Nationals go out and pick up.
Can I just say, can we not have games happening during the deadline? That's very strange to me.
Like, I'm not watching this game at all.
Right.
I was reading this article about right before first pitch of Cleveland Houston today. And everybody is like in the clubhouse, like the players are in the clubhouse refreshing Twitter and checking things. And then all of a sudden AJ Hinch walks out of his office with like this huge smile on their face. And then it flashes that they got Zach Greinke and they're like, oh my God, you know, like now you got to go play. And they got spanked today.
Right.
By the future American League Central winning Cleveland Indians. Anyway. So it was funny that they did that, that both teams were blowing it through their bullpen and both teams are making bullpen moves. The Nationals acquire Elias and Strickland from the Mariners, which is probably a smart move for them. If you're a Mariner fan, there we go. We touched on some Mariners there. Getting rid of some dudes to get maybe something, anything from a depleted system. So you might as well give it a shot. And it addresses the Nationals' concerns. I mean, they've had such
They also got Daniel Hudson from the Blue Jays.
And they got Hudson from the Blue Jays. Who still plays for the Blue Jays? Like, that's what I want to know.
Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Dante.
Kevin Biggio. And Bo Bichette.
That's it. Just those guys.
Yeah. It's the entire team.
So
they can get their dads to come out and play too. Well,
what's funny is they all play infield and their dads can all play outfield.
Right.
We got it, guys. We're good. Justin Smoke at first. We got this covered. Is Russell Martin available?
To go back?
sorry. Long tangent. But I like that the Nationals addressed that. They got some dudes. They really needed some bullpen help. I thought that was good. They've been hot as of late and they've closed the gap in the National League East. They look like they're going to make the playoffs through the wild card. I like that.
Here's the thing, and we're going to get to the Braves in a second, I know. The Nationals desperately needed help, right? You're right. Their bullpen's the worst in baseball.
Ooh, it's atrocious.
The bullpen ERA is the worst in baseball. If you've watched Nationals at all this year, they blow everything. When the bullpen comes in, it's a terrifying experience. But let me reread the names of the players they acquired for you and tell me if you trust them in a bullpen that already includes Fernando Rodney.
Oh.
Rowenis Elias, Hunter Strickland, and Daniel Hudson. So, yeah, you
couldn't
added...
They couldn't get Ken Giles out of Toronto.
I mean, they could have tried. They added names. They did need more bodies. Maybe one of these three pans out and becomes an effective guy for them, but adding more bodies who are not exactly exciting just because you're desperate for bullpen help doesn't exactly equal improving your bullpen. I need to see it to believe it, and right now I'm looking at this paper and going... I don't believe that either any of those three is going to help your bullpen.
I think, you know, and we'll get to this in the 8 o'clock hour. They did something. They addressed a
Thanks,
problem.
Willie Taggart.
They addressed a problem. Okay. They might not be the right solution, but they at least told their team and their fan base, look, we understand and we're going to try to do something. Because some teams didn't do that. So I will give the Nationals a little bit of credit on that. It can't get worse. You see what I mean? Like, these names might not blow you away.
You know
but
what, Patrick? It could get worse.
I suppose it could get worse. They did lose to the Braves today.
Yeah, they did blow it. Again.
Sean Doolittle gave up a dinger in the 10th.
And he's their best reliever.
I'm, like, talking myself out of this. Anyway, so, hey, congrats.
The team they lost to did way better than
they The team
did.
They lost to had quite a day today. They acquired Mark Melancon from the Gigantes.
Indeed.
And they got, oh man, I'm trying to keep up on this.
Chris Martin from the Razors yesterday.
They got Chris Martin yesterday.
Who, by the way, you've never heard of him. I hadn't either. Shocking. He's really good. He has like a 1.93 ERA in the last month or something.
And then they snagged Shane Green from the Tigers. And they seem to be able to hold on to most of their top guys to be able to do this. And I would think, you know, anybody that knows the Bravos, anybody that watches at National League East knows that team desperately needed a bullpen. It wasn't as bad as the Nationals, but it wasn't great either.
No.
If the Nationals are 30th in everything, they're like 27 and 28 in everything.
The Braves have been going through closer after closer trying to find the right guy to do it, and they just went and acquired him instead. Now, Shane Green's an interesting case because he's a guy who's been doing really well on a team that's not good, so there's no pressure. The last 2 years, he's just been killing it on the Tigers. I wonder with pressure if he's going to have the same kind of season. That's the only question I have about him. I think he's really legitimately good. But the Chris Martin guy has been pitching great the last month. That's a guy that probably no one ever heard of, to be honest. It's such a generic name. And
lead singer of Coldplay?
Right. And who watches Rangers baseball? Not me. So
definitely not me.
I didn't know who he was. And then getting Melancon, now that's a name. He hasn't been the same since he went to the Giants, but he's shown flashes in his time there that he's still a quality reliever. He's not the Pirates Melancon anymore, but he's still quality. And I think what the Braves did was dynamite today, and they're already in first in the division, so it just helps them even more.
Mark Melancon, over his last few appearances, has 8 1/3 innings pitched, no runs, no walks, something like 7 Ks.
There you go.
He's pitched really well lately. So if you're a Giants fan, oh, there's another team. We should have kept a tally on how many teams we can name today. If you're a Giants fan, you probably dealt Melancon at the right time, right? Because sure. You're thinking this guy was a huge bust. I mean, they paid, what, 60 mil for him, something like that, 65, almost 70 mil for him.
He was one of the best closers in the market the year that they got him.
Mm-hmm. And they signed him to a fat deal, and he's been horrible. So they probably got good value out of him for that.
Sure.
And if you're the Braves, you got Shane Green as your closer, probably. Melancon as your setup. Martin as your seventh. With that rotation?
The rotation I still have a little bit of questions about, too. It's not
fair,
great,
fair.
But
Soroka, Fried, like, what's the innings limit look on those guys? I get it. I see what you mean. But I
Keuchel hasn't been quite as good as you thought he would be. He's not bad by any means. He's kind of Dallas Keuchel before he became a free agent, which is more middling than ace.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, Fulte's up and down, up and down, up and down. Can't stay good. So
he just plays in the minors now.
Yeah.
Please remind me more of that. How's Javi Baez doing? Is he still playing well?
Yeah.
Whoops.
Wait, you kept Fulte over Javi?
No, I traded Javi for Fulte and a draft pick.
I got you.
Which got me like Dave Robertson, who's having Tommy John. Yeah, dude, I'm in last place. What do you want from me?
I'm stuck in ninth. I'm almost there with you.
I do think, though, with the Dodgers doing nothing, which we'll get to later, you know, in the second hour, I think the Braves have done a very good job of closing the gap. I don't think the Dodgers are now so far up and away better than the Braves. I still think they're better than the Braves, but the Braves, if it's Braves, Dodgers, and the NLCS, I am watching every inning of hopefully all 7 games of that.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't talked about them yet, but the NL Central teams, like the Cubs and Brewers, also made moves to try to bolster themselves. But I like the Braves' moves better, mm-hmm. and I still think the Dodgers are about 2 feet above any of those three teams in terms of quality in the National League right now. So it's going to take a lot to catch up to what the Dodgers have, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Braves did the best. They're still below them, but they did the best to catch up. I think the Cubs and Brewers are trying really hard.
They're trying. You guys, you know what? You're just doing it, guys. Get it. All right. So that's enough positivity. Let's start bashing on some people, Mike. You want to lay into some people for doing some stupid things?
Sure.
Where do you want to start?
Where would you like to start? I'd like to ask what the Mets are doing.
I would like to start in the city of New York as well. And I'll try my best. We'll save the Yankees for hour number two so we can get that extra ratings boost for hour number two, you know, when we talk Yankees baseball.
Right, because everyone out here is a Yankee fan, right?
But I would like to check in on what those lovable New York City Metropolitans are doing because, boy, I have no idea what's going on. We'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
.749 here on Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. Want to get to the Big Apple. You know that place? They got that giant apple in the outfield.
Yeah, and it comes up every time they hit a home run, yeah.
Comes up every time they hit a home run. Who ever thought of that? You could have done better.
I don't know. I think it's pretty cool.
For how much that cost, you could have done better.
Did it cost that much? Have you seen that thing?
It does look like a pizza.
Yeah, right? Well, and I think they just moved it over from Shea Stadium when everyone was there. I mean, come on.
The apple it literally just raises and is like, woohoo, and then goes back down.
There's a Mets logo on it, and then it goes right back down.
It's just a little mini elevator.
Yep.
The New York Mets do clearly what is the most mind-boggling move here at the deadline, and that's a couple days ago they acquire, what is this, yesterday? Or the day before, something like that?
Yeah.
In the last few days, we'll just say that and cover ourselves. They acquire starting pitcher Marcus Stroman from the Blue Jays, and
For two good pitching prospects.
For two really good pitching prospects. And I don't really know where to go from this. Is this more of the why do you get Marcus Stroman, or why does Brody Van Wagen still have a job?
Well, when it happened, I guess the thought, it was even more confusing when it happened because people thought they were going to trade Diaz. They thought they were going to trade Syndergaard, and they thought they were going to trade Wheeler. And it's like, why are you getting Stroman? Why are you giving up good prospects if you're going to go trade these three guys? Just trade them and get keep your two prospects, and they get more prospects.
Right. Now, if you look at the haul the Astros got for Greinke, I mean, Greinke's better than Syndergaard.
The Diamondbacks got, you mean.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, the haul the Diamondbacks got for Greinke, Greinke's better than Syndergaard. But you would think Syndergaard's cheap, younger, control.
Yep. I don't
know. What can you get for that?
I was questioning it way more until today when I saw they did nothing but acquire Marcus Stroman. Now, I'm still questioning it because I don't believe the Mets are very good. But I saw this from a couple of writers. This means the Mets are, quote, going for it.
Yeah.
And I sit there and I go, going for what? Third place in the NL East? I mean, look, that rotation is nasty, right?
Yeah.
You got DeGrom, Syndergaard, Stroman, Wheeler, Mats. That's a great rotation.
It's probably the best rotation in baseball, 1-5.
A couple of years ago, you had the best rotation in baseball history. What did that get you? Nowhere.
Yeah.
So
they did go to a World Series.
With that rotation, or was that before they officially called it the best rotation ever?
No, it was before.
Yeah.
But they had Harvey, DeGrom, Syndergaard.
Yeah. And Wheeler and Mats still.
It's just the same dudes.
Yeah. Well, Wheeler got hurt a bunch, remember. But yeah, so I look at it now and I say, okay, so they're quote-unquote going for it. And we talked about it earlier in the show. There's a lot of teams in the National League that feel like they have a chance because there's a lot of teams that are within 5 or 6 games of the wild card. The problem is that there's a lot of teams within 5 or 6 games. So not only are they 5 games back, but there's like 8 teams between them and a wild card spot. You need a lot of good things to happen to make up that ground over a bunch of other teams that are fighting for that same spot. Beyond the starting rotation, the team sucks. Their lineup is horrendous.
You got 2 guys.
Their bullpen's even worse.
You got 2 guys that don't have a full season of Major League service, and that's your best bet in the offense.
Yes. Pete Alonso and Jeff McNeil.
Yeah, unless Yoenis Cespedes magically comes back.
No, he's going to keep stepping in holes in his ranch. Conforto hit a bomb yesterday, by the way. He's still there, although I don't necessarily believe he's going to be anything special in baseball. Sorry, Bieber fans. But they don't have a good lineup. They do not have a good bullpen.
No.
That's up there with some. For whatever reason, the National League East got snake bit by bad bullpens this year because all 4 teams that are in contention have bad bullpens.
Dave Robertson is dead.
Yes. Yes, he is. And there are other guys that pitch are not very good either out of the bullpen. So to me, and this is my general thought, and I said this on the show last week when you were out, my general thought is this. If you are on the border and you are not that good, but you're close to making a playoff spot, I would still consider trading some of your bigger players to get prospects because you can play both lines while still improving your team. I was using the Giants as an example last
week. Giants did that today.
Sort of.
They got Scooter Gennett.
Right, but they didn't trade anybody.
Right.
So,
well, they traded Melanson.
Right, and they got traded Pomeranz. What I'm saying,
Dyson.
Last week I was saying they need to trade Bumgarner even though they're in it, right?
Right.
They've been absolutely on a tear. They cannot lose. They had a ton of walk-off wins in a row. I looked at that and I went, so you're telling me they're winning by 1 run every game. They're needing to walk off teams. You look at their lineup and you go, eh, that's not very good.
Right.
You look at their bullpen and you go, oh, that's okay. You look at their starting rotation behind Bumgarner and you're like, I don't understand this at all. They're not that good. They're really hot and they're back in the wild card race. Guess what? You can trade Bumgarner, right? Get a ton of prospects because the Giants need prospects. And you can still hope that you keep the run going, but you know deep down you're not good, right? So if you miss the playoffs, you had a fun run. You maybe got close, maybe even made the wild card game, right?
Right.
And you still got a ton of prospects for your most tradable asset. The fact that they didn't trade Bumgarner and Will Smith makes no sense to me, just like the Mets not trading their assets makes no sense to me. You can still get prospects to fill your farm system and keep trying to win, but you have to be realistic. You have to understand where your team is and not lie and say, oh, we could make the playoffs and win. No, you can't. You're the Mets.
Well, real quick on the Giants thing, since we are touching on this. They had to trade Will Smith. I'm shocked they didn't. Bumgarner, everything I was hearing and reading was that if you would have traded Bumgarner, the fans and the players in that locker room would have revolted and that GM would have been out. What's his name? I can't remember his name anymore. Would have been out of a job because they love Bum so much. that they would have been willing to forego, but don't lose Bum. The Will Smith thing doesn't make any sense to me. He's got to go. You got to trade him. You're trading Sam Dyson, but you're not trading Will Smith? That doesn't make sense to me.
Will Smith is
the... trading Mark Melanson, but you're not trading Will Smith? That doesn't make sense to me.
Will Smith is the prototypical random average bullpen guy who's really good for a year, who will get you a lot for a team that's desperate, but is probably not that good.
Right.
That's who he is. You have to trade him.
The Mets, on the other hand, this all falls, and I've mentioned his name multiple times, Dan, it's because I think he's an absolute joke, and that is Brody Van Wagen, their GM, who is a former agent, who's Yoenis Cespedes' former agent. He's like Rob Pelinka, okay? The man has no idea what he's doing. And this just goes to show it. He thinks he's in the win now mode. He thinks he's in a win now mode. Treats Syndergaard like garbage and says, I'm going to trade you for this. You know, I'm going to trade you. I'm going to trade you. I'm going to trade you. Nah, we're going to hold on to him because he pitched really well last night. That's BS. And I was trying to find the best way to put this, and it actually came across on the Better You Today text line, 55305. Jordan says, the Mets literally just played the role of amateur house flipper in over his head. And that's what that is.
And then he went and said the reports were they thought they could flip him to the Yankees.
But everything.
And then I saw the report. They were asking for the moon.
Yeah, they wanted Gleyber Torres, and they wanted, what's that? Who's your number one? Garcia?
Yeah, Davey Garcia or something.
Davey
like that.
Garcia?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, guys, we all know this. If the Yanks were willing to give up Gleyber Torres, the Indians would have Gleyber Torres. Like, that's how it would go.
Or the Giants.
Or the Giants. But
or the Diamondbacks.
But Cashman was like, I'm not giving up Gleyber Torres, which tells you really how good Gleyber Torres is. And more kudos to him. So it's like, what on earth? If you couldn't get Gleyber Torres for Syndergaard, what made you think you were going to get for Stroman? That sounds like off...
Idiocy.
It sounds like
lunacy.
You have no idea what you're doing.
Well, and I think what has been proven, it's already proven in my mind, but it was proven again at this deadline, is... Brody has no effing idea what he's doing.
No clue what he's doing.
He traded his top two prospects to the Mariners for Robinson Cano and Edwin Diaz, which when we looked at the trade originally, we were kind of like, whoa, that's a steal for the Mariners, but maybe it'll help out the Mets, right?
We thought the Mets were in win now. Got and this kid coming up.
Which didn't make any sense.
But got a good rotation.
They were in win now mode. And then a couple of weeks ago, as we were getting hyped up for the deadline, Brody says... oh, we really need to replenish our farm system. You just traded your top two prospects to the Mariners this year for an aging guy for $500 million and a closer who was really, really inconsistent.
Yeah.
Why
and then
what?
You just traded two more for Marcus Stroman, who's going to leave you in a year and a half.
It doesn't make any sense. It does not make any sense.
We've talked earlier, and I want to get out on this point because we're up against the clock. We talked earlier about the dysfunction of this team and how I've actually been rooting for the... I've been rooting for the Mets to be good because I like Mickey Callaway. You know, he's a Tito guy. He helped take our...
He's a chonch, by the way.
He helped take our staff to a World Series, and he did great things with our guys, and I was rooting for him. This, we always said it was a dumpster fire. Now I'm just confused. It's like, is your dumpster on fire, or are those tires on fire?
Or is there a fire next to your dumpster, and it might touch your dumpster, but you're keeping it at bay with some weird paper?
Yeah.
You're not sure if that's going to work, so you put some water on there. Like, oh, water stops fire, right?
Yeah, but you also, it's like water mixed with oil, so you, like, don't quite know.
Yeah, because for some reason you think oil also works, even though everything ever says don't put oil with fire.
Yeah, it's fun to watch.
You took your fire extinguisher and threw it out the window and cracked it in half. Like,
yeah,
I don't need Jared Kelenic.
Yeah, it's fun
Mariners,
to watch.
Mariners, you have them.
It's fun to watch the video of the Kingdom being demolished. But when the Kingdom gets demolished and then it's already on the ground and then you drop a bomb on it, now you're like, well, I'm confused.
Was that really necessary?
It was already dead. You know, stop it. Stop. He's already dead. All right. When we come back, I do want to touch on some of the big players. I do want to touch on the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Dodgers. I think there's some to talk about that. I also want to get into this Trevor Bauer deal from the Indians to the Reds. And also, what in the world happened in Pittsburgh last night? That was some crazy stuff. We'll do all that next in the second hour of the Hot Corner. This is 1080 The Fan. That's Mike Lynch. I'm Pete Harris, Portland sports leader.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.